Job 9, please, and verse number 2. Well, let me read verse 1. Then Job answered and said. Throughout the book of Job, we see dialogue. We see questions, answers. We see conclusions that are drawn, but not rightly so. We see the so-called three friends of Job that seem to have him pegged and seem to have figured him out. But then Job gets an opportunity himself to answer. And let's read what he said. I know it is so of a truth, but how should a man be just with God? The basic question here, or the basic thought, is how can a person be just with God, or how can one be justified? How can one become justified in God's sight? Now, in Romans 5 and verse number 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We all understand tonight in reading the book of Job that Job was a righteous man. Job was an individual that could be trusted. Job was a person that endured severe trials, unlike anything that we've ever seen. But yet it all proved him, as Shayla sang tonight, he came out as gold. He was tried, but he emerged as gold because he came through the testing. So he was a justified man. If we can borrow a New Testament word and roll it back into the Old Testament, he was certainly justified. Now let's have prayer for just a brief moment. Father, bless now the reading of your word and now the study of it. Give us a good service now as we look into your precious word. Help us to appreciate more what it means to be justified. Lord, tonight, Father, as you well know, this has been a regular topic. This has been a regular subject. We've preached it many, many times. And this is one of those areas, dear Lord, where we feel that we're repeating, and we know that we're repeating what we've already said. But yet, if we could only, dear Lord, understand a little bit better just what it means to be justified, then I believe that our spiritual life would be enriched a little bit more. So help us this evening, Heavenly Father, and bless now this service and meet needs tonight of whatever sort they might be. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Job's friends, as you students of the Bible know, accused Job of being a hypocrite. His friends basically said that Job was suffering because of sin. He was being chastened because of sin. There was something going on in his life that he was not open about. He was not candid about. And God was dealing with him. His friends are accusing him of being a hypocrite. But yet in reality, God had the three friends of Job pegged. They were the ones that were just about as hypocritical as you could get. So Job was not the one at fault. It was his three friends. They certainly did not counsel him very well. They weren't very good encouragement to him. They turned out to be miserable counselors. That's how Job had them labeled. Why were they miserable counselors? Well, one of the qualifications of being a good counselor, you need to have an understanding of human nature. You need to be empathetic. You need to have a heart. You need to be compassionate. You need to have a genuine concern. And they just did not, they were lacking in that department. They were indifferent. They were cold. They were judgmental. And so they turned out to be not the best kind of counselors with him. There wasn't an ounce of hope in their so-called counsel. They were basically fatalistic. They were accusing this man of being a hypocrite while they were overlooking their own hypocrisy. They were not honest, in other words. How can a man be just with God? How can a man Be just with God. Let me spend a little bit of time tonight looking at a subject that we've preached on many times, but yet it's one of the most thrilling subjects you'll find. This word is one of the most thrilling words that you'll find when it comes to great doctrinal words. The word justification. I know tonight you know the meaning. You already understand, you're ahead of me. You know to be justified is to be declared righteous. But I think, though, from time to time, it's good that we review, because there's a lot of wealth in review, and sometimes in the hurry of our life, in the quest to learn more things and new things, we get away from things that continue to be precious and dear. And sometimes we lose something in the speed of trying to learn so much new stuff. The definition of justification. The verb justify is used 40 times in the New Testament. It's a legal act of whereby that God declares the believing sinner righteous on the basis of the blood of Christ. The word justification, the word itself, or justification itself, not just the word, but justification itself. It's a gift of God's grace. A person is justified as a gift of God's grace. The Bible says in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely by His grace. Now, since the verse says freely, we automatically know that it's a gift. We're justified freely by God's grace, letting us understand no one can ever earn it. No one can purchase justification. No deeds that we could ever do would ever merit our receiving justification. It is a gift of God's grace. And you know tonight why it has to be a gift. How can an unsaved, condemned, bankrupt sinner ever come up with anything that would be a purchase price? We're inadequate. We're unable. God has to give it to us. So justification is a gift of God's grace. Also, it is appropriated by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's appropriated by faith. We take God at His word. We believe Him. We come to terms with where we are. We know that we are a bankrupt sinner. We look yonder, or look back rather, I should say, by faith to the cross. We see ourselves condemned, but we recognize the provision that Christ made. We launch out by faith. We trust, we take God at His word. We claim Him. We accept Him as our Savior. It is appropriated by faith, not by works of righteousness at all, but through faith. It is possible through the blood. Never get tired of hearing about the blood. Never get tired of singing about the blood. Never get tired of thinking about the blood. Because the blood of Jesus Christ does indeed cleanse us from our sin. Here's a verse. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Being justified by His blood, that's Romans chapter 5 verse 9. It's made possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. Justification. It is, in another sense, it is apart from the law. It's apart from the law. The Bible says in Romans 3:20, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So by the deeds of the law, no one can be justified in God's sight. There's a lot of people tonight that are striving to gain favor with God through law keeping. They emphasize the Ten Commandments. They talk about the law. That is their standard. But the problem with that is no one can ever be justified through law keeping when you understand the context of what the law required. The law required 100% batting average. You had to nail it in every point. You had, in fact, when people tell you they have kept the law, they have kept the Ten Commandments, they've already lied to you. First of all, it's impossible because every single one of us from time to time, whether it's in our thought life, whether it's by omission, sin of omission, or whether it's sin of commission, whether it's a fit of anger, and on we could go, we violated the law. We're a bunch of big lawbreakers. That's what we are. The only perfect law keeper is Jesus Christ. When we accept Him, we accept the perfect law keeper. But we're not justified by deeds of the law. The law is not what saves us. It's God's grace that saves us. And then, the saved person is made the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's the key. We're wrapped in His righteousness. We're clothed by His righteousness. And praise the Lord for that truth. To be clothed in His righteousness. What a blessed truth. I want to secondly say tonight there's a difficulty in justification. A difficulty, you say, well, what way, preacher? Why is it difficult for a person to be justified? Well, I would ask you a question tonight in return. Why is it so many people tonight are unsaved? Why is that? You know, the difficulty in justification is not on God's side of it, because through Jesus Christ, God can justify. The problem is on man's side of it. You see, it's the exceeding sinful condition of mankind. There's where the problem is. That doesn't mean that a person in all of their sinfulness can't be forgiven, because God saves the vilest of sinners. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. Isn't that wonderful to know that? Brother Glenn this morning was teaching the Sunday school class there in the book of Ephesians, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly. Brother Glenn taught on that. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. Doesn't that right there let us know what God can do? But when it comes to what God does, God does not, God will never in a billion years ever compromise His holiness to save a sinner. Do you know that when a sinner gets saved, God does not compromise His holiness? We need to understand that. God doesn't bend over backwards and say, well, I'll just go ahead and just kind of forget about the standard here in order to save a sinner. No, the wonderful thing about it is through the full and complete provision that Jesus Christ made on the cross of Calvary, God can be just. And the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus, because He bore our sins, He took care of our curse, He died in our stead, and when we come to Him as a repentant sinner, God, on the basis of what Christ did for us, can save us and wipe our slate clean and put our name in the Lamb's book and can justify us because of what His Son has done for us. All to Jesus. That's the answer there. But the difficulty is on man's part. Shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Isaiah said in 53. The psalmist said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Psalm 51. And then Isaiah said, Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. So looking at man's sinfulness, justification is rather difficult. Looking at it from man's side. And then you have the absolute holiness of God staring us in the face. But in spite of that, God still made provision. I think it was this past Wednesday night. I was preaching, bringing a message this past Wednesday night. Even before sin took shape, God had already planned a provision in eternity past. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. God in eternity past already framed the plan of salvation. It didn't take God by surprise when Adam sinned. God knew what Adam would do. And you know, that's the thing that amazes me about the Lord. Maybe I'm not using the right word when I say amazes me. I guess I need to say this is a thing that really thrills me about God and His saving grace. He knows fully in advance who He's getting. He knows fully in advance what kind of a specimen He's getting when He saves us. Because He's God, He knows. He knows ahead of time. He saved us in spite of our future. He saves us in spite of our future. He knows every time we're going to sin even after He saves us. He knows when we're going to make a mistake. He knows when we're going to do crazy things. He still takes us in spite of that. He knows all things. He knew Adam was going to sin. So God went ahead in eternity past and made a provision. And Christ was to die. And then the narrative of the development of the Old Testament picks up. God slew that innocent animal. That said the cross is coming. At Cain and Abel were required to bring sacrifices. And Abel brought one that pleased God, and Cain brought the fruit of his own labor. But in the offerings of those two brothers, the offering of Abel, God said the cross is coming. When Abraham was instructed to take Isaac, go up on the mount and offer him. And the question comes up, where is the lamb? And the answer that Abraham gave, God will provide himself a lamb. The cross was coming. Every time a Jewish priest would take that knife and slit the throat of that animal to be sacrificed, it reminded us the Lamb of God was coming. When the psalmist said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In Psalm 22, which is the identical words that Jesus Christ himself uttered on the cross, we can know even back then, in those words from the psalmist, the cross was coming. When Isaiah said, he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, the Old Testament prophet, we could understand the cross was coming. In other words, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In all of those sacrifices and all those prophecies related that one who was to come, virgin born like the prophet said, died as a substitute for sin like the prophet said, arose from the dead like the prophet said, ascended back into heaven, and you can be sure He'll come back again like the prophets have said. He is coming back. You see, that's why we can be thrilled tonight, because we understand that justification, in spite of our problems and in spite of our issues, if we flee to Him by faith, God will still forgive us of all our sins. And we can be declared righteous in the sight of God. What a blessing. You and I can't wrap our minds around that tonight. There's no way that we, this side of the streets of gold, can fully comprehend what it really means to be justified. See, we see through a glass darkly. We really do. Like the Queen of Sheba said about Solomon's riches, the half has not been told. We can't comprehend. That word justification is a jewel. It's a gem. It's a nugget. It's a pearl of great price. It's a declaration of freedom. It's a title to heaven. It's a crown of joy. That's what it is. Therefore, being justified by faith. But the difficulty, God still saves us in spite of that. The doctrinal aspect of justification. Let me quickly tell you something about this. In Romans 5 and verse 1, think about it for just a moment. Romans 5 verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith. Well, as you think about that verse there, do you know that the word justified in Romans 5, 1 is actually, in terms of sentence structure, it's what we call an aorist participle. An aorist participle, which can also be translated having been justified. It says, therefore, being justified, but we also can read it because it's an aorist participle, having been justified. Reminding us of a precious truth. Justification is not a process. Justification is an act. We have been justified. Sanctification is a process, but not justification. Sanctification is a one-time deal. Having been justified. Today I am no more justified than I was yesterday. Today I am no more justified than I was 40 years ago. In fact, I'll go so far as to say tonight that the dying thief who rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, that trusted Christ, that got saved, and Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, that dying thief was just as justified as the one who wrote the book of Romans. It's an act. Therefore, having been justified, you and I can improve on our justification. We can do a whole lot in terms of the sanctification thing, but not the justification thing. Justified by faith. I'd like to point out something about that. By faith. Understand that it's not by faith in faith. It's not by faith in feelings. It's not by faith in tears or by faith in the church. Faith is no better than its object. Faith must be according to the standard that God recognizes. We're justified by faith. Not in faith, not in tears, not in the words of a preacher. We're justified by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Faith has to be anchored to that, or otherwise it's no good. You talk to some people, are you saved? Or what faith are you? That's a question that comes up. What is your faith? What faith are you? Faith is equated to like a denomination. What is your faith group? Baptist, Methodist, etc., etc., etc. Salvation is not based upon a faith group or having connections to a faith group. Salvation is based upon having faith in what Christ did for us. It looks to Calvary. It looks to the provision. So faith is no better than its object. If its object is not anchored to Christ's completed work, then it's not worth a plugged nickel. It's not saving. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, as the song says. We who have exercised faith in Christ, we stand in Christ complete because Jesus stood before God as a sinner in our stead. We stand in Him complete because Jesus on the cross stood before God as a sinner in our stead. The blunt of our sins were laid upon Him. Every sin we have ever committed, are committing, or ever will commit was heaped upon Him when He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. If I ever bore you by mentioning time and time again that Jesus bore our sins in His body on the tree, then you'll just have to get bored. Because I'm telling you, there is nothing any more thrilling than to know that He took my sins. He paid my sin debt. He wiped my slate clean. And when you survey that wondrous cross from which the Prince of Glory died, your richest gain you'll count but loss and pour contempt on all your pride. But at that moment of time, when our sins were placed upon Him, He cries out in the darkness of that midnight at Calvary, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And the sun hid its face, did not even shine. At that point of time, that all of the miserable sins that humanity ever committed fell upon the person of our substitute at the cross. He said, why hast Thou forsaken me? But then He goes on and says, it is finished. Tetelestai. It's finished. It's done. The great transaction was done. He paid the sin debt in full. And we can sing, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea, yes, that's good enough for me. I will live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. Because He paid our sin debt in full. That's what it means to be justified. When you use that word from here on out, say that word with a smile. Say that word with a joy in your soul. Say that word as a person who is so thankful to God that God moved in on the scene back in your history of the past when you were a miserable sinner locked up in a slave market of sin without hope and without God in this world, the fear of hell being hung over your head, no peace. The Bible says the wicked are like the troubled sea. You think about that time that God intervened, came to your prison house of sin, and when you looked to Him and saw that bleeding Lamb of God dying in your stead, the prison door was swung open wide, and you walked out a freeborn person. That's what it means to be justified. It means tonight when God looks down from heaven, He sees us in Christ. He sees us not in and of ourselves, but He sees us in His Son. He loves His Son. Well, He loves His Son's body. He's the head, we're His body. Near, so very near to God, nearer I cannot be, for in the person of His Son I'm just as near as He. That's the truth. That's what it means to be justified in God's sight by God's grace. Let's pray.